the Jody Seeley Show podcast, our next COVID conversation. And our special guest today is Amber Pavey, who is with Present Possibilities. Amber, thank you for coming to hang out with us and have a little coffee talk.
Thank you for having me. It's so great to see you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
So Amber, you are an educator with a specialty in mindfulness education. Okay. Now, for someone who, I think we hear the word mindfulness a lot, but we don't necessarily know what that word means. So can you kind of unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I get that question a lot. So mindfulness is a beautiful tool that really is about becoming present in the moment. So whatever that looks like, kind of the good, the bad, the ugly, the reality of the situation, being present with that experience in that moment and really just allowing it to be whatever it happens to be. So for me right now, in the midst of COVID, I've been using my mindfulness tools a lot, of course, to unpack all of this on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to when you've combined this in schools and you've worked a lot in the school system, mm-hmm. How does this tool help our kids?
Actually, I'm really glad you asked that. This morning I was going through some evaluations and feedback that I've had from former students that I've worked with. And I often have kids, you know, do this like little exit slip or this little card, a little visual card, just to share with me, like after a 6-week program or an 8-week program, what they learned or how they benefited from the program. And so many children shared with me that they just feel more calm, more peaceful, more relaxed. A lot of them reported that they've been sleeping better, that they maybe aren't as anxious about school or tests, and that they're sharing it with their families, that they're going home and they're sharing it with their siblings or they're teaching their parents, and everybody is benefiting from the tools. And the thing I love about mindfulness is the tools are very simple, they're very secular, and they're a really great solution to use really in any setting.
And I was thinking, I've followed a lot of the work you've done for a while now and seeing some of the tips and suggestions and ideas. And I know that you were really vocal in that first transition when we learned that we would be homeschooling kids, yeah, and then figuring what that looks like and just planning out little things to help with that structure. What are some tips or ideas that parents, if they haven't already developed, I mean, we know we're a month in, so I think we're figuring some things out, but more tips and suggestions are never harmful when you're trying to figure stuff out.
Totally. I agree. I agree completely. So for me, I mean, I'm a trained educator. I've been teaching since 2003. And one of the, I guess, tips that I developed over time in my teaching practice, but also as a parent, is the tool of flexibility, flexible thinking, flexible practice. So the plan that we started with at the beginning of this has like merged into something new. And every week, you know, I take the feedback from my kids and how I'm feeling about it. Is this working? Is this not working? What do we need to adjust? And so I would really just encourage folks to be really flexible, that yes, we need this safe, consistent container to support our children in, but we also need to be realistic and flexible and able to go with the flow and adapt with the reality of what we need. Because I, at least I know in our family and in my home, what I need on Monday is not necessarily the same as what I need on Thursday, right? And so just being adaptable and flexible with all of that.
Now, being someone from the education sector and that background, how crazy has, you know, what COVID has done to switching our world around a little bit from your professional perspective, how crazy is this for our educators?
Oh yeah, it's unprecedented. And in some ways shocking, and also a little bit, I hate to use the T word, but also a little traumatic, I think, for some of our educators. These are uncharted waters, right? It's a very difficult time. I have so much respect and appreciation for my children's educators and for my colleagues, because they are literally doing the unknown. It's as if all the educators around the world have kind of all gone back to their first year of teaching, or all gone back to being a brand new teacher again, right? And that learning curve is so steep, right? And it's exhausting being new to anything, really. And it takes a while to kind of land and find your feet. And they're doing that while they're at home, while they're caring for their children. And so having to support their children and themselves and their students simultaneously is an immense task.
Well, and I hope some positive from the crazy, we'll call it, is just that I don't think there's people who, maybe not all people, but I don't know how deep our level of respect went for teachers in the past. I think we've always, of course, appreciated, you know, that there are teachers and what that looks like and what education looks like. But I think our appreciation level has grown substantially through this. And so I hope that it strengthens parent-teacher relations and even relations between kids and teachers too, because I think they're really seeing how important that teacher's role has been in their life also.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Really early, in the early days, I felt the same way. I thought, man, everybody is going to come to the realization here quite quickly how valuable teachers are, not just in our society, but in our lives, right? In our families, for our children, right? They're incredible individuals in our lives. And I agree. I think this is going to really illuminate the value of them just in general. And I think healthcare too. I think this has really been an opportunity to illuminate how important a strong society is based on their healthcare and their education system.
Absolutely. Okay, shifting back to mindfulness, the tool. Mm-hmm. For those of us who are kind of are wrapping our brain around how we could utilize that tool in our homes to help us, whether it be from the personal aspect, homeschool, like whatever that looks like, where do we start? How do you even begin to really be in the moment?
That's a great question. So what I like to tell children and adults for mindfulness is it's really about noticing. So just simply stopping, pausing, and noticing wherever you are. So for me, often, believe it or not, I practice informal mindfulness while I'm doing dishes, or while I'm in the yard gardening, or while I'm even folding laundry. You know, some of those like daily tasks that we do, those are great opportunities to just pause, take a breath, simply notice, you know, the sensation of your feet on the floor, feeling connected to the ground, and then just simply noticing the rise and the fall of your breath without feeling like you need to breathe in a particular way, just really noticing. And maybe even saying to yourself, you know, I notice my inhale, I notice my exhale. And just taking a couple moments to just really notice the sensation of breath in your body. Notice the feeling of your feet connected to the ground. Notice maybe the temperature of the water or the sensation of the bubbles while you're washing the dishes or, you know, folding the clothes or whatever it happens to be. Even being outside with your children, you know, we've been walking a lot and bike riding recently now that the weather's improved, and being very aware and noticing your external environment when you're outside is so powerful and incredibly very balancing for the nervous system. So just really listening and noticing to the birds, you know, or listening and noticing to the way the wind creates the sound within the trees, you know, it's really about focused, intentional noticing. And we can use our senses for that noticing. And kids are fabulous at this. It's usually one of the first tools I teach children is how to use our senses to balance and ground our nervous system. And they get it so quick, right? It's very powerful and really only takes a few moments.
So if I'm wanting to start that with my mm-hmm. kids and I've not done that before. What does that conversation sound like? Like, how do you even, like, because at first probably your kids are going to be like, what? You want me to listen to my breath and notice my feet? Like, mom, you've gone crazy. Like, how do we start that conversation?
Totally. It's so true. I've experienced that too in my house. You know, my kids see me, you know, practicing or in meditation and they're like, oh, or even when I'm doing Qigong or something, mom, what are you doing? Oh, do you want to practice with me? No, I'm good. Right. And so having it be playful and organic and just kind of free flowing and natural and in the moment. So if your children are interested in learning alongside you or practicing alongside you, great. That's the moment to embrace it. But if you, I really don't recommend folks say, okay, it's mindfulness time. We're going to sit down and we're going to practice mindfulness as a family, right? Really, really caution folks to do that. But if you happen to be, you know, out for a walk together, and you can just simply say to your kids, you know, oh, let's just hold on. Let's listen. What do we hear? Right? What do we hear? And then everybody takes a turn listing or labeling. Oh, I hear this, or I hear that, or I hear a saw, or I hear a bird, or it's amazing what kids will notice, or turn it into a game, right? Making it as playful as possible. Well, what do you feel right now? Like, what do you feel in this moment? What is your body sensing, right? Or what do you see? Just a simple practice of stopping and noticing what you see, where you are in your environment, and make it really informal, really playful and quick, you know, starting with a formal, you know, 20-minute meditation practice is maybe not ideal at this point, right?
Well, for anybody, really.
Exactly.
And probably, would it be fair to say, like, the first few times, like, it's not going to be perfect and it's not going to be easy and it might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but it's just continue.
Totally. That's great advice. And that's why we call it a practice, right? Because it really is something that is developed over time. In my case, it's over a great deal of time. And some days my practice is beautiful and blissful and zen-like and oh, I don't want to leave it, you know, and then other days I have no desire to practice. I want no part of it. And I avoid it like the plague. I mean, that's a terrible analogy right now, but I do. I avoid it and I resist it. And that's normal too, right? And so some days our practice is great and very enjoyable. And some days not. And that's just part and parcel of the practice itself, right? It takes time. It takes time and then more time.
And we have a little bit of that right now, so it would feel good. How do you see practicing mindfulness being beneficial through this time frame? And I mean, obviously after that, it's going to be a tool that you can carry on forever. But right now during this, when we feel unsure and some people are really afraid and like there's a gamut of emotions, how is this beneficial to us?
Oh, well, I could probably talk on that for a whole hour, but I won't. But I would really just like to highlight the fact that for me, even in these stressful moments, a practice of gratitude is so, so powerful. So taking a few moments each day to just notice and then label silently or out loud, or some people like to journal and draw or paint or whatever the case may be, a handful of things that they're grateful for in this moment. So really highlighting the things that we do have rather than focusing on what we don't have, right? Mindfulness is so empowering because it helps us to recognize what's already within us, what's already available to us, rather than coming at it from a lack, a place of lack even a to-do list, for example, right? So I often like to keep an accomplishment list of all the things that I've accomplished simultaneously with all the things that I still have to do, right? But for a long time, I only ever had this to-do list that just never seemed to end. Whereas now I also stop and take time to acknowledge what I have accomplished and what I have done. So both are true and both are valuable, and it helps me create a bit of balance in my life that I can be with the the blessings and the great experiences, but I can also be with the things that are maybe uncomfortable and upsetting at this time. Making space for both is really important, but taking, you know, even just 2 minutes in the morning to pause and just simply label all of the things that you're grateful for, you know, and most of them are going to be physical, and we're physical human beings, right? We're humans having a human experience. So listing off things like your cell phone and your laptop, because it keeps you connected, there's no judgment in that. Of course, those things are important and you're grateful for them in your life, right? You're grateful for the grocery stores being open. You're great. You know, the list, once you start this practice, once you start these lists, I think most folks would be surprised at how full their cups really truly are, that they're not quite as empty as we think.
Yeah. And I think it feels like a generally acceptable place for all people to go, because I think when you start throwing out words like mindfulness and being in the moment and appreciate, some people, they start to, they back away from that and they think like, that sounds hoo-hee or crazy or whatever the terminology, like you're into that voodoo stuff or whatever people try to label things that they're unfamiliar with, basically. But this sounds like it's a technique that no matter where your family members are at in their journey, this is a pretty safe place to start.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the misnomers about mindfulness in general, is that some folks have the belief, and I did at one point too, felt as though it's about being positive and it's about being, you know, positive thinking and looking at the bright side and being nice and kind all the time. And while those are very true components of a mindfulness practice, being able to be with the mess, you know, I often use the term find the magic in the mess, you know, because as soon as we resist the mess or we judge the mess, we can't actually make space for the mess and be with it. So on the days, especially, you know, in COVID, when I'm angry, when I'm really mad and I'm not doing well at all and I'm snappy with my kids and I want space from my husband and whatever, I'm with that too, right? I make space for that as well. And really trying to practice equanimity and non-judgment for the whole experience, that it's not just about the positivity. It's not just about the Zen-like experience. It's actually really about making space for the human experience in general, right? The good, the bad, the ugly, they all have value, really.
Yeah. Now you have a 6-week online course coming up where people, if, you know, if this has tweaked a little feeling like, hey, I kind of want to know more about this, tell me about this course.
Yeah. So right now I'm offering, I had started it a few weeks ago and I've just decided to continue running with it for folks. So it's actually a free offering, completely free offering for folks who are new or experienced mindfulness practitioners. No experience is necessary, but if you have some, that's great too. You're welcome either way. And we meet over Zoom every Wednesday at noon Mountain Standard Time. And it's just really a brief opportunity for folks to connect in a safe space. We do a little practice together. I use a guided meditation for the day. And it's an opportunity just to engage and have some conversation about, you know, where we're at, how we're doing. And I just offer some resources and tips and tools in that time. And I make it as brief as possible. We only meet for 30 minutes because I recognize, you know, people's families and other things are pulling at them constantly, that we might be home, but we're still very busy, right? And so making it available. And of course, folks, if they can attend live, that's great. But if they can't make the actual live session, I always record it and share the replay later for folks. And they can just listen to it or view it when it's most convenient for them.
Awesome. So whether they want to dive into that or even just maybe even follow along some of the cool, you're always posting great tips or tricks or thoughts or things, where's the best place for people to find you and all your info?
Oh, thank you. So if they're interested in joining us for the Wednesday session, the free sessions, they can just head on over to my website. It's www.presentpossibilities.ca, and they can just sign up. There'll be a pop-up that shows up and they can just put their email in and they'll get all the information right away. They can also find me on Facebook, of course, Present Possibilities Mindfulness Education with Amber Pavey. It's kind of a long one, but if you put in Present Possibilities, it should pop up. And then of course on Instagram, Present and then _ Possibilities, and then LinkedIn as well. I'm Amber Pavey on LinkedIn. So there's lots of ways people can find me.
That's very good. I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and being in the moment with us to help us be in the moment. But before I let you go, every COVID conversation ends with your Corona confession. So what's your confession you're going to get off your chest today?
Well, I have a few actually, but I guess it's a part confession, part strategy, maybe perhaps for some people. So when I'm feeling angry, which definitely happens, yesterday was one of those moments where I just needed some space and some grace from my family, even from me, from my mind. So I hop in the car, I hop in my vehicle, and I turn up the music as loud as I can until I'm almost deaf. And I scream. I scream along with the music. Sometimes I cry if necessary. I just let her go. And it's incredibly therapeutic and releasing. And really within an hour, I come home and I feel like a whole new person. So embracing, you know, all of the experiences of COVID, the anger, the frustration, all of it is part of the process for me.
All right. So if someone in the Calgary area, this blonde woman in a car screaming and you can hear the bass coming up, don't be alarmed. It's a Corona confession technique. Yeah,
it is. Absolutely. It works like a charm.
That's awesome. Amber, thank you again so much for your time and your tips. And if we're speaking in gratitude, I sure am grateful to have a person like you in our world helping us come into the present moment. So thank you very much.